Kevin, most of my family attend this church. That's Charlie over there. We were on the phone the other night planning a men's convention for the whole of Pacific Union. I'm missing some of my, what do you call those guys who ride the motorcycles? Sabbath keepers. There's John in the back, Nevin next to him. These are all our men's retreat guys. This church sends them and they come back to you better, right? Okay. There's Henry and Annette and Mike. And let's see, just a bunch of you guys. Edgar. And I know you, yes. How is the marriage? Great. God is good. And all of these youth rush, how do you guys rate to get these young people? How'd you pull this off? Praise the Lord for all these young people. And I see Joel running around the hallway periodically in the conference office, and he's just such an inspiration. You guys know what you're in for. It's going to be wonderful. Praise God. Now, you're living in a city, and I was driving around the other day in this city, and a wave of sorrow just flooded me because I saw the people. They were right there on California, right there in that little shopping area. There's one gentleman who always sits on the sidewalk there in his motorized wheelchair asking for help. And I just got sad. I was almost weeping. And then I thought about John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, what? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And what else? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Lift up the trumpet. And loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that? When I consider my family here, God loves you. I'm tempted to say he loves you more than anybody else in this city, but there's a bunch of you in Hillcrest and Southside and others. He loves you. And he loves those who are not a part of this fellowship. And those who are threatened in this fellowship. And those who have somehow been, through whatever reason, have separated from this fellowship. He desperately loves them. He wants you to be healthy and holy and happy and hopeful. Do you believe that? Amen. To feel like you're loved and you belong, and no matter where you are, you're safe. He wants us to experience the abundant life now. Do you believe that? And to have hope of eternal life. And I'm excited to see you, Jim, back in the back, my buddy, my family, because you believe like I believe. Jesus is coming again, and he is the ultimate solution to what's taking place on this planet. His original purpose for creation will be realized. Do you believe that? The message, the three angels' message of Revelation 14, verses 6 through 14. You know that text. those angels, that message, develops a people who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, and who are looking for the coming of Jesus. That's what that text is all about. He's coming again to get us. Central California Conference, Bakersfield, is ground zero when we're considering, when we consider lifestyle-related chronic diseases. Ground zero in Central California Conference. The rate of diabetes, back up, obesity, yielding diabetes, heart disease, cancer is higher in Central California Conference than in the state of California. Do you believe it? The statistics are true. A slow destruction of humankind. It's amazing when I think about it that God has designed us and created us to function so perfectly, and the enemy had so hoodwinked us and bamboozled us and tricked us until we don't even like to go to sleep. A simple health principle. We inhale our food and forget that it's a sacred opportunity that we have with our Savior just to sit and enjoy one of his blessings. The enemy wants to destroy God's creation, but he's coming again. He's going to fix it. Luke, the 21st chapter, verse 9 and on. We live in a world filled with wars and rumors of wars. We can't look at anything on TV, on the news. I can't imagine sitting in a restaurant with family and friends and some deranged person intentionally starts just gunning people down. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine standing in a pile of rubbish where my house used to be, looking for family and friends because some tornado has come and just wiped a whole neighborhood away. It's happening. We see it. We face climate change issues, whether we like it or not. Youth Rush, where are you? You're not from Bakersfield, are you? No, right? Prepare to have a different experience. You have to chew this air to breathe it. It's the worst air in the nation. We face some issues. We don't know what a clear day is. The sun is shining bright, but it's so polluted with all kinds of particulates, we don't even know what a bright day is. But God's got to fix this. We know about droughts. We know about floods. When I was living in Bakersfield and I was reading the newspaper about the Isabella Dam, I went right down and got myself some house insurance called water. What is it called? Flood insurance. It's a tenuous experience we live here. It might appear to be safe, but it ain't safe. You have been exposed because your pastor made sure that this was in your bulletin. It's called SB 1146, an amendment amends the California Education Code to eliminate any meaningful protection for religious colleges and universities to integrate faith into all aspects of campus life. Religious colleges may no longer be able to require faculty and students to uphold the basic religious values. Employee decisions could not be based on religion except for those teaching theology and religion. It may allow a court to order religious schools to hire unbelievers. It may allow court to order to stop requiring students to attend worship, to stop requiring religious classes for students who object. This is not something that's happened some time ago. This is happening now, right now. And so read the document, get on the phone, call the number, email the email address, and just simply say, I oppose. You get that? Do it, because your very religious liberties are threatened. This is real stuff. All the world is wondering after the beast. And people want to know what these things mean. Well, you know what they mean. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 36 through 38. Seeing the multitude, the people, he was moved with compassion on them because they were faint. They were harassed and kicked about by the enemy at will, confused people just trying to find their own way, scattered like sheep without a shepherd. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I don't know why there are so few laborers. Could it be we are overwhelmed? We just don't know what to do. One thing is clear. The world needs help. Would you agree? Amen. The world desperately needs help. And God says, pray. He says, pray. Ask God to send help. And in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He says, I'll show you a miracle. Because as we look at the planet, this little city in which we live, it would require a divine miracle from God to fix it. We got the youth rush coming in, but it's going to take more than you. But you do what God has called you to do. John 3:16, we know it. God did send help. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He spared nothing for us because he loves us. God sent his son, Daniel, the 9th chapter, verses 24 and 25. The prophecy states, 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the walls even in troublesome times. The Messiah came. The anointed one came. Just as sure as Jerusalem was built, Jesus came physically to this earth. Do you believe it? We gotta believe it. He came physically to this earth. Mary had that baby. Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 21, the angel told Joseph, call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 17, John the Baptist baptized him in the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And in Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18, Jesus announced his mission. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." He has anointed me to do something, to preach the gospel to the poor. Our concern for the feelings and the needs of people is the best evidence that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. I've been anointed to heal the brokenhearted, those who are suffering bitter disappointment and pain, to heal the brokenhearted. I've been anointed to preach deliverance to the captives of Satan. All we know about, we hear about, may even know about drug addictions and alcohol addictions, and what about work addictions and workaholics and stress addiction? All this stuff that hits us and we don't recognize it, but it's just as deadly. I don't want to get into this one, but I got to say this part. You can't enjoy your meal if you're stressed out. You can't even digest it well. Something so precious that the Lord has given us, and the enemy wants to keep us so revved up and so tight, an apple loses the joy. Stress addicts. But Jesus was anointed to deliver us from that. And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Good news, Jesus is coming, has come to save slaves from slavery. God sent his son to help us. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 5. John was in prison. He heard how Jesus was helping people. So John sent his disciples to ask of Jesus, "According to the prophecies, are you the one who should come to help us? Or should we look for another?" Those disciples followed Jesus around a bit, and they observed him. And Jesus said, "Go tell John what you see and hear. Blind receive sight. The lame walk. The leper are cleansed. Deaf hear. Dead people are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them." That sounds just like Isaiah and Genesis and all throughout the Old Testament, the Bible as they knew it. Sounds like the work of the Messiah. Sounds like this man must be the Christ. Jesus was clearly on mission, and his mission clearly identified who he was. He came to help us. The world is still in trouble. It's still looking for help. The question is, are you the one who will help? Or does the world look for another? Now, the title of that sermon, I'm going to say it for a reason. It's not Jesus coming again. The title is, "Are You the One?" Are you the one? Are you the one? Or does the world look for another? John, the 13th chapter, verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another." This is how the world's going to know that you are the one, if you have love one for another. A supernatural love born of God, not a periodic outburst, but a constant manifestation of love. 1 John 3:18, "My little children, Let us not love in word. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Do something. Action versus talking. You all know Sylvia. Sylvia Flores used to be my secretary there in the conference office. We love Sylvia. Sylvia needed a kidney. You know Bunny, who used to also work there in the conference office. Bunny said, I've got two. They've had the operation. The transplant has taken place. Everybody's doing good. But I was talking to Bunny before the operation. This woman was so excited to give that kidney, you would have thought she was receiving it. It's a supernatural love, born of God. And they're both healthy and doing fine. But that's what this thing is about. Demonstration versus definition. What is that? When we pray, asking God for direction, God will lead us to do something. It's like my uncle. He's gone now. He would say, I appreciate you praying for me, but would you put some feet on those prayers? Put some feet on the prayers. Do something. It's not okay that my friend should die because she couldn't afford health insurance. You know, Rita used to hang out at a camp meeting all the time, that big old Ellen White robe on, and she would be teaching the children about Ellen White as she dramatized that whole thing. Graduate from PUC. Steve, Rita is dead. What? Rita got sick. She waited too long to go to the doctor. Sepsis sets in and she dies. Somebody needs to do something about this. We must do something about this. It's not okay that in Central California Conference, the percentage of high school dropouts, teen pregnancy, teen STDs is higher than the percent of that which in the state of California. Can you believe that? You have come to a mission field, and you didn't probably get on a plane to do it, but this is a mission field, Youth Rush. We cannot lose the potential scientists and economists and engineers and teachers and theologians and preachers to repeating this cycle in the next generation that will perpetuate a life of poverty. In Bakersfield, it's not okay. We must do something about this. It is not okay to defund mental health institutions or inflate the cost of housing, pushing families into the streets and complain about the homeless crowding our sidewalks asking for help. We must do something about this. It's not okay that former immigrants and slaves should think that it's okay to separate children from parents, that it's okay to push people back into conditions of poverty and danger. We must do something about this. It's not okay that 29 million Americans and counting are living with diabetes. Many of them only need help in adjusting their thinking and encouragement in adjusting their appetites and motivating to get moving a little bit. We can do something about this. And it's not all outside in the community. It's amazing how God's family is attacked. We got to do something about this. It is not okay to exploit our elderly and our children, the vulnerable, and get an attitude when we're asked to get checked. Get an attitude when I've got to, you know, do the identifying fingerprint to make sure that as I am ministering to God's people, you got to make sure that your children are protected. Because sometimes we come with jaded experiences. We come attacked by the enemy ourselves, and we find ourselves among God's people. And so the background check is for the healing and recovering perpetrator, as well as for the safety of you and your kids. And so the family can hang around together and worship him together and love everybody all the way to the kingdom. But the kids got to be protected. And the vulnerable must be protected. And we must do something to make sure that the family knows nobody's going missing. Everybody is important. Acts the 11th chapter, verse 26. The pagans called the disciples Christians because they did the work of Jesus. They were on mission. They were visibly identifiable because they were doing the acts of the Christ. What does this look like? Camp meeting. 8 members from San Francisco churches. There was Helen from Philadelphia and Philip from Chinese and Naomi from the Japanese and 8 of them. And they just said, you know what, we gotta do something for our city. And we don't know what to do. And so Colleen said, we can pray. Colleen from Tabernacle. So they began to pray. They prayed for 2 years. And God told them what to do. He said, you know what, you guys can have a health fair. And so they got themselves together and they start organizing. And they had the health fair in place, but they didn't have any means, any money to advertise it. And so they came and said, Steve, we need some money to advertise this health fair. I said, what? We've been trying to get money. But they were just a they were an organized, disorganized bunch. They weren't connected to any institution, any church per se. They're from all the churches. We just can't give you some money, and there's no way to audit it. But we cannot allow this ministry that God has given you not to move forward. So we called all the pastors from San Francisco together at camp meeting. Said, pastors, this is what's going on. You organize them. All in favor saying aye. And they organized. We gave them the money. And the rest is history. They had a health fair there in the church. I got there at 9 o'clock with them to process this, and a line of people were lined up outside waiting for the doors to open. They did it again, and the same thing happened. They did it again over in another area of the city, and the same thing happened. They prayed. I was in the back of the gym, and a man came in from the street. I was standing by the table of all the literature. The man came up and looked around at what was taking place. He said, I want to join this church. These people are doing something. Off the street, witness the ministry. I've got to be a part of this. If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. Went down to Santa Cruz. They said some stuff was taking place there. I walked into the fellowship hall. There was about 30 people in there. There was Maria and Paul and Wanda Driver from our camp meeting lady who registers us in, and the attorney down there from Watsonville. It was a bunch of them, about 30 of them. And they were on the blackboard, and they were writing, and they were discussing back and forth as to how they could do something for their community. And they were designing a health clinic. I was the only clergy in the room. But see, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. You accept Christ as your personal savior, you are a priest. You have direct connection with the divine. And these saints were praying. And God showed them how to design the health clinic. Got there the day of the health clinic. We took a picture of all those saints who were there working. They were from 7 different churches. It was held at Santa Cruz, but Watsonville was there and Seaside was there. People came all the way from Templeton Hills. Monterey Bay Academy was there. Salinas Hispanic was there. About 7 different churches. Close to 160 saints. Anxiously awaiting for a line of people outside the church, out to the street and around the corner, waiting to come in and be ministered to. You get this? And that's what they were planning, and the results was remarkable. And they said, you know what? We must develop a network here. There's no way that we can minister to all the people on this one day. So we're going to give them an invitation for the next event that will take place at the Watsonville Church. And so all the overflow went there. And the same thing happened again. All the churches in that whole area, again, on the stage, over 150 of them. And outside the window, a line of people waiting to come in and to be helped. And they said, we got to do it again. And Hollister was there, and they were watching the whole thing take place. And they were chicken. I call him chicken because he's my friend. Dr. Clark, Steve, how are we going to pull this off? I said, it's going to be all right, because every saint here is going to be there to help you. And all the overflow, we couldn't help all those people in that one day. They went to Hollister. Tomorrow morning, when I leave here, after the event this evening, I'm driving to Templeton Hills and sleeping there, because in the morning, it's going to happen again. Hundreds of saints are going to be in the church getting ready to pray, because their sanctuary will be filled more so than this sanctuary with members from the community coming to receive help. It's going to happen tomorrow morning in the Templeton Hills Church. God says, what does this look like? It looks like Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 31 through 40. When I was hungry, you simply gave me meat. Thirsty, you simply gave me water. A stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. In prison, you came unto me. When you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Therefore, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation, for you from the foundation of the world. You are my disciples. You are the one who I have sent to help the people of this city. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to be with Jesus? Amen. Jesus is in the cardboard boxes with the homeless. Thousands of soldiers living on our streets due to post-traumatic stress disorder. Not just soldiers, but children living in terrible environments, just as damaged. Jesus is with the prisoner in prison. He is also with the family of the prisoners who've been left behind. Jesus is with the poor in spirit, those who sense their spiritual need. And Jesus is with us when we are with them, the least of these, my brethren. Heavenly Father, these are your words. You have promised that your Holy Spirit is going to help us understand it. So I pray you do that now. Now this afternoon, at 5 o'clock, we've invited everybody who's anybody and everybody somebody to the Pacific Health Education Center at 5 o'clock to come and get a soup and salad and just to hang out and enjoy each other. Then at 6 p.m., Dr. Taylor's gonna talk to us about how important we are. God wants us to experience the abundant life. Your health is as important as anybody's health in this city. God wants to give you that. Then we'll talk about how this church, your church, can develop a needs-based ministry, because the people in this church and in every church must be healthy. When I say healthy, I'm not just talking about physical health. I'm talking about emotional health. I'm talking about social health. I'm talking about this family must be so excited and so together till you run to get here and bring everybody else you can find, because this is where you find belonging. This is where your needs are being met. This is where you find safety and love. There's a way to pull this off by God's grace. But God is just not wanting this for us. Every single breathing person, he wants it for them too. And he wants us to tell the world about Jesus in very practical tones. So I long to see every Sabbath school teacher, every community service leader, every deacon and disaster relief person, every elder, every family life leader, men's leader, women's leader, senior citizens leader, health and temperance leader, inner city, personal ministry leader, prison ministry leader, I want to see you. And everybody else, see you this afternoon in Pacific Health Education Center. We've invited the whole of Area 5, and I think 6 as well, who are coming together to see how to do something. God bless you.